I'm delighted to be up here tonight in the trust that anything I've to say, it will be a blessing to you, as it's been a blessing to me. It's nice when you get struck with something from the scripture, and you can't get past it. And this is one of the subjects that I have enjoyed for quite a time. And I want to pass on anything that I have enjoyed that you might be cheered up in your way as well. First of all, I want to say about this occasion. When you're laid aside at times, you do a bit of searching. And I did it when I was lying in the hospital. And the thing that cheered me up was the fact of my Saviour who came time and again and eased any anxious thoughts away from my mind just to concentrate a wee while on Himself. I'm going to read to you from the Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah, and it's chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 1 brings us face to face of what God desires each one of us to concentrate on. First verse of Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the nations, to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. It's a subject, it's inexhaustible. Many, many students of the scripture have found that out. Especially if you link Isaiah chapter 53 with those four verses that I read. There's much to contemplate and have a wider and more appreciative thoughts of himself based on that. I was struck as I read the scriptures 2 weeks ago when I was looking at them, and I found this about it, especially what I was reading, that I was interested just how both the testaments in the Bible have a great deal to say concerning the servant. And it was this that sent me along the thought of having a word. So, to introduce my subject, I just start as a fella just would start at the beginning of trying to do something for the Saviour. I'm going to read these verses of Isaiah 42, but there's one verse in Luke chapter 22, and the last sentence of that verse, it's concerning the servant. You'll read it for yourself, and as I go along, you'll enjoy just a few thoughts that I'm going to pass on. And I want to say at the beginning, two things will govern anything else to say, and that's brevity and clarity. I won't be above your head in any way, so don't worry, and I won't take too long. I was struck as I read the scripture that our Lord himself, no less than three times I could read, he mentions of himself to be a servant. And he became a servant. A difficult thing for men in their sins to appreciate. The fact was that I looked up of the many, many instances that the scripture mention this great word concerning our Lord coming into time scenes. The servant, it's a great theme, as well as being great. To me, it's a surprising subject. Of all the different subjects that the scriptures take up, the servant one holds me greatly. I must admit that. This mentioned this concerning him as a servant. Usually we look up to those that are great men, aren't they? Well, this one, the scripture emphasizes that he would be great, the great one. And yet the instances you find him, for instance, taking a towel and girdling himself, getting a basin, putting water in it, and going to wash the disciples' feet. One of the disciples protested on this occasion. "You'll not wash my feet," Peter said. Well, he says, "If I don't wash your feet, you're no part with me." And of course, he mentions about his hands and head to be taken in as well. But these are things, the lovely touch the Savior had of making impressions on individuals. And this is the theme that gripped me, and I must mention this to you, is the fact, as you look at the scriptures, we've heard it time and again, how that the four Gospels gives us four different portraits of the Saviour. Matthew talks about, "Behold your King." Mark, "Behold my servant." Luke, "Behold the Son of Man." John emphasizes, "Behold your God." I want to say this to you. Of all the things that strikes me in the scriptures is the fact they may be simple, but they're very, very deep. You're lost in them, and you've just to sit by, wait, and got an in-light and an insight to all that they're inferring. This gripped me very much in relation to even reading the Gospels for ourselves, irrespective of what students say about it. I was struck with the fact that of all the characters that our Saviour spoke of and how the scriptures highlight in certain characters, I was struck in even our simple readings of the scripture There were six views struck me. For instance, he talks about himself being a sacrifice, a saviour, a shepherd, a seeker, a servant, and as supreme. I'm going to suggest some things to you concerning him as a servant. I, in that verse in Luke 22, I am among you as he that serveth. Great many scriptures. You couldn't in any way discuss everything in some messages that you would speak. But I'm going to suggest and confine myself to three little thoughts concerning him as the servant. The scriptures highlight those three little points. First of all, we have him, the servant that was submissive to the Father's will. The servant who was successful fulfilling the Father's will. And the third one is the servant supreme and has all the glory from him who sent him to accomplish his will on earth. Just with that background, I want to just refer to a few scriptures that will help us to a deeper appreciation of the Saviour as the servant. A long while ago, I couldn't get over this. I was reading the scriptures, the old scripture. And it's 1 Kings chapter 8. There's a verse there that struck me very, very much. You see, I was impressed. It wasn't just in this day they were skeptical as to whether God would come to earth and dwell. Two scriptures struck me. John mentions them. And that gospel of his, the first verse, tremendous implications you see coming from them. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Come down to verse 14 in that chapter, you'll find this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of an only begotten of the Father, filled full of grace and truth. The other man of God that was blessed with lovely views concerning the servant was the Apostle Paul. He mentions in the Philippian Epistle chapter 2 concerning him. And this is what he said concerning him as the servant. He was found in fashion as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know what's entailed in that little word with four letters in it there in the last sentence that I've quoted. Even the death of the cross, emphasizing his constant fulfilling the will of him who sent him. in relation to a word in 1 Kings. Solomon there, of all that he mentions concerning God and his greatness to him and to his father, David, he's built a house for God. And he's startled with the very thought. He says, but, I'll turn it up just to make sure I don't misquote it. And it's a relation that's very important too when you read it. It says this concerning 1 Kings 8 and verse 27. Very interesting. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold the heaven of heavens. Can it contain thee? How much less this house that I have built. See, I don't know what it would be in the glory just to be behind and maybe eavesdrop and you listen to great men of God years and years before ever we were born. And they're up there in their converse, just getting in behind Solomon and John. And they would say, I never thought God would come and dwell there. God came in the person of the Lord Jesus himself and fulfilled the Father's will in every word that he spoke, in every work that he employed and brought to fruition. These things, he said, what I have heard from the Father, I speak those things. So it's nice just to remember the background. That great man of wisdom, Solomon, questions the very thought, could God come and dwell on earth? John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes away to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So simple, but so deep. Just to stand and sit time and time again, looking at the incarnation, and you find the eternal Son of God, at the bidding of the Father. And there he is. He's there, fulfilling in every aspect of his servitude down here, fulfilling his will. But I tell you, more than that, I was struck with the fact, you see, a servant, we've heard at different times, different interpretations of meaning of what a servant is. But I think most of us take the viewpoint that they're here and they're serving and fulfilling a purpose. This was what the Lord Jesus did. You see, Paul emphasizes that. Says when Christ Jesus was in the form of God, he thought it not a prize to be held on to, made himself of no reputation. He was found in fashion as a man, and humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. These men must have been stirred, I tell you. From the lights of that, and touch me, and cause me to wonder at the condescending love and grace and mercy of God in that person who in his, oh, how far they come down, will never know. even into the dust of death, knowing full well as a servant. He didn't remember the words concerning the Holy One. He would never be allowed to see corruption. That's why we love him. That's why we like to look at him. So much like ourselves and so unlike ourselves because of our sinful ways. But all those things are always there just to let us see how God. I thought I would mention one or two of the experiences he had while on his way fulfilling the will of him. First of all, I would suggest this, that as we look at it from his point of view, he always took a serious viewpoint in anything he had to say. Never was there a word passed his lips that he had to retract in any way. Never have I known in scriptures any signs of an apology for what he had to say. That's an encouragement to you and I, dear friends. We who love the Saviour, to go into the Word and look and see what he was in himself and what he done for us at the place called Calvary. These are things that we've got to ever look at and ever see. This was one of the things that I was going to look at, and I want to pass it on. We have got a wee note of it. When he mentioned that, I looked up concerning another servant. Away back in the early book of the Exodus, and there was word came to those that lived at that time in Israel. They said this, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free. That was a standing order, and that to be kept. In this instance, in this chapter of the Exodus, chapter 21, it says this, this man, he didn't accept his freedom. He said, I love my master, my wife, and my children, and I will not go out free. That put the master at a disadvantage, but he took the man at his word. But the word tells me, and if he shall say plainly, and he brings him forth to the judges, and in coming to the judges, he says, lead him forth to the door, or the doorpost, and shall with an awl pierce his ear. Psalm 40 speaks about the servant there having his ear opened. The center suggestion in your sheet in that 40th Psalm says, dig. So this is what it means. This man then is there. And the man brings him before the judges. And he shall bring him to the door or doorpost. I think the poet, when he was making up the words of a lovely hymn, he brings it very much to our appreciation. My master, lead me to the door. Pierce this now willing ear once more. Thy bonds of freedom, let me stay with thee to toil, endure, obey. Yes, ear and hand and thought and will, use all for thy dear slavery still. Life's weary liberties I cast beneath thy feet, there keep them fast. And an appreciation of the man who was willing not to take his freedom, that he would serve his master forever. That was the indication. That was the seal that all through the air it would serve forever. You think of the Saviour in his service. It meant suffering. If we look at Isaiah 53 and we rise from reading it without having the appreciation that there is revealed the servant who has been submissive, the servant who was sacrificed, you come to the end and you see the servant in the highest seat. So if we're going to look at Isaiah 53, ever remember these things, that the work that was entrusted to our Lord and Saviour, it was going to be brought to a full fruition. And you and I, because the sinless Saviour died, my soul, your soul, if you're saved, is counted free, for God's the just, satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Nice just to get these practical things and just to enjoy it. Again, coming back to Isaiah's prophecy, those four verses I read, you'll notice there, he has the full weight of the Master's words of approval. The work couldn't fail because it was within God the Father's will, constantly glorifying him on the earth, finishing the work that he was given to do. It's nice just to think there were occasions when the Saviour, during his sojourn down here, helped those that were taking up the position among their fellow men and women of serving. And he mentioned on an occasion concerning awards, he mentions concerning one especially, when the prize given to enter in a thou faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. When the Saviour died, John gives us a lovely picture of him after the success, both from some of his disciples would have halted them from going to Calvary. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't think like God, you think like a man. I've got to go there. And he went there to the glory of God. And then it mentioned the fact too, concerning them. Others that would have detained them. Oh no, he says, I must go. I must go. This baptism that is to be baptized with, he knew what lay in front. And how am I straightened until it be accomplished? John, at the end, gives us a lovely view of the servant who was faithful and obedient right to the end. And he tells us this. Jesus, therefore, knowing that all things were now accomplished, bowed his head. He was clear in his mind right to the end. Not like the others that had their legs broken to hurry on their death, but when they came to Jesus, in a dignified manner, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, commanded his spirit. That was the last one he spoke to, was the Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. May God just help each one of us who names his name in your covenant. Just to have that stimulant faith and know that as we're fulfilling the will of the Father, that the blessing might come in your covenant again. And souls that are weary, souls that are broken, bruised and battered by sin, may hear the words of the Saviour, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that's what it is with some servants. They're no, in any way, drawn to fulfil the will of him who sent him. I would say this to each one of us to encourage you. Do not be weary in well doing. There's a time when the Master will invite us in, give us a seat in his presence. Give us, yes, he'll give us a prize. That's what the great apostle that we're thinking about there. He looked away in front to see what was before him. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a great day. And I trust these little words may help each of us just to move on quietly. Not in a big, big way, but just in a humble way. That's how the Master touched poor souls. Let us pray. Father, we come into thy presence. Confess how negligent we are at times. Overlook all the sweet things thou hast promised us in thy precious word. Grant to us, we pray thee, that we might be more alert at times, just to, we sense we lose a lot, Father, just because we don't just give heed to the most important little words that's in thy word, but to encourage us and to serve to the end. Grant that we might be known among those who follow his leading and his guidance. We sense, Father, that to be under his control will always be useful to thee help us ever to captivate our Master's Spirit, that we may be used for His glory and for His alone. Again, Father, we thank Thee for those gifts that we will be supplied with for a cup of tea. Bless the sisters' hands, hearts that have provided them. And take our thanks for being associated with Thy Son in Thy things. We would desire to be kept faithful. Hear us in a simple thanksgiving. We ask all in His most precious and worthy name. Amen.